You're listening to Here to Help on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Piano playing, writing, speaking a foreign language, these are a few talents that people are blessed with. And it's our talents that can actually provide unique ways to serve those around us. Brandon Crockett, for instance, moved to Chicago to work as a copywriter for an advertising agency. He also wanted to help people while he was there, and ended up using his talents as a writer.
I heard about St. Leonard's for recently released convicts, and so I volunteered. At the time, I was writing poetry on my own, and after a few months volunteering at St. Leonard's, I thought, you know, these guys, I think, would write really good poetry. You know, I'd had many discussions with guys and different volunteering activities I'd done there, and they just had interesting thoughts, and I'm like, if they could get them down on paper, I think it'd be really cool. So I talked to the volunteer coordinator and asked if I could teach his poetry class. I was completely unqualified. I didn't tell her that. I never taught poetry before, or I wasn't a published poet or anything. I was just interested in poetry. And she said, sure, you can teach. And then a month or two later, there I was. I was standing in front of a room of 20 or 25 men recently released from prison, and I was teaching a poetry class.
Now in his seventh year teaching poetry to the residents at St. Leonard's Halfway House, Brandon feels his life has changed from the experience. Producer Charlotte Kniep has the story.
They invited me to come to dinner first. I walked into the room and pairs of eyes looked up and stared. They weren't leering, they were just curious. Curious about this new person, about me. But to Brandon, there were high fives, back slaps, and how's it going, man? He's a longtime friend to the residents of St. Leonard's Halfway House in Chicago. Everyone at St. Leonard's knows the routine. On the second Tuesday of every month, they eat dinner, and then Brandon teaches a poetry class. It's been that way for the past 7 years.
First, we have an icebreaker, something that gets people to laugh when they say their name. The thing that is the best icebreaker ever is say, and what is your favorite thing on the McDonald's menu? And that always gets a debate going. And we discuss one or two poems that I choose before the class. Read them a couple of times, discuss them, then we have 10 or 15 minutes to write our own poems, volunteer, share what they've written, and it's proved to be successful.
That's Brandon, an advertising writer by day and a facilitator of making dreams and thoughts and emotions come to life by night. The theme for tonight's class is romance. The poem they're discussing is a classic, Annabelle Lee, by Edgar Allan Poe.
And this was the reason that long ago in this kingdom by the sea, a wind blew out of the cloud, chilling my beautiful Annabelle Lee, Krista.
I don't know about chilling. Mm-hmm. That's another way of saying killing. You know what I'm saying?
I'm looking at it now.
Right, right. Yeah. A wind blew out of the cloud, killing. You know, because when she's dead, she's cold. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Chilling.
Right.
Right.
Way to say it.
All right, that's another thing. Okay, another way of thinking.
Everyone seems to have a lot of opinions on what the poem means. But Brandon creates an environment that encourages a healthy debate between the students.
I think especially when it comes to those that have spent time in prison, they've had a lot of time to think. I didn't know this before I started teaching the class, but a lot of them have experience writing poetry. That's what a lot of them do in prison. It's just a natural thing for them to do. And so I enjoy the idea of processing my thoughts, whether it be in poetry or through discussion or through journal writing or whatever it may be. That's what I like. And I like encouraging others to do so as well. It helps you understand yourself in a deeper way.
After the discussion comes the good stuff. The students get 15 minutes of complete silence to write their own poems. Then if they want, they can share them in front of the whole class.
It's not a rhyming poem, it's just...
Oh, it's fine.
All right. Steel walls from top to bottom, the ringing sound of keys rattling. To my left, cold air blowing from the vents. As I lay on my bunk staring at the steel ceiling, wondering how did I get here? Hearing the lies being told, watching grown men act like children. At that moment, we go back in our minds of a time that once was, of the smells of mama's chicken and baby's mama's perfume as such.
Awesome. Way out, way out. When I swam, I liked to swim way out, beyond the ropes and the rest. When I visited the woods to go further and off the trail, I did my very best. Today, I'm much the same, motivated by the same spirit, no doubt. Radical freedom has a grip on me. Now isn't that way out?
Why is my youth tainted? From the teachings that are taught of signs that bang at walls that spray painted. From revenge to death and obituaries that frame it. Believe in yourself if no one believes in you. Keep strong, keep a mind, keep focus, and little brother, keep hope.
Some guys are barely literate and they still try to write a poem. Some people are college educated or previously published writers and they write things. So you have a huge spectrum of writing in there. And it's just, to me, it's fulfilling to see, especially those that have never written before, try to write something and then have the courage to share it in front of the class and then receive an applause afterwards and the expression that's on their face. Yeah, it's rewarding.
Students don't easily forget what Brandon taught them in the poetry class. In fact, a former student of his, who has since graduated from the St. Leonard's program, came tonight to see Brandon and join in on the discussion.
My name is Jesse. I was a member in Brandon's poetry class for a period of 6 or 7 months, and we wrote about everything from freedom, truth, beauty, and we were allowed to express ourselves however we chose. And I felt special in the fact that he chose several of my poems, and he found some value in them. And that was pleasing to me.
I asked Jesse why he loved Brandon's class so much, and what exactly he got out of it.
Well, in order to write, you have to think before writing. And what I'm trying to say is the writing practice and experience caused or allowed me to think more deeply about issues and things. It is therapeutic. In doing that, I found some emotional relief, and so I feel better equipped to meet situations and live more fruitfully as an individual.
One of the poems Jesse wrote in the class is called Letter to God. It's full of passion and fear, faith and love, and he read a part of it to me.
Letter to God. Dear God, please hear my earnest prayer and supplication, offered more in confession than for your information. Here in prison, I feel a deep desolation. Please continue to lend me your spirit for vital resuscitation. Work with me in the changing of my inner man to become more your child than a streetwise Chicagoan. I can be and do greater. I know I can. Please give me the needed power and a better plan.
Brandon has been volunteering at St. Leonard's for over 7 years now, and he's had a front row seat to see a lot of the positive changes in many of the students.
One individual, he'd been in jail, he hadn't been in prison, and he had never written a poem before, never touched poetry, and he came to class, and then he just started writing. And he didn't participate much during the class, but he was just writing and writing and writing, real small, filled up a whole entire page with whatever it was. I didn't know what it was going to be when the class was over. He volunteered to share it, and he just like was this natural performer, performed in like this slam poetry style, super, what would you call it, like emotional when he was doing it, captivating, and it's like, wow, this guy has experience with this. And then it wasn't until a few months later that he told me that up until that class, he'd never written a poem before. So every month he would write something like that. And then about 6 months ago, I ran into him, and he says, I said, so what are you doing tonight? And he says, oh, actually, I'm going down the street and I'm teaching a poetry class myself. I'm like, you're teaching a poetry class? He says, yeah, I'm teaching a poetry. And I never wrote a poem until I was in this class with you. I think it's just been a great outlet for some people, and a lot of self-discovery has happened through the class.
That student was Christoph.
My name is Christoph. I've been coming to the St. Leonard's poetry class since 2012. I've written maybe one poem before I got here. I was just messing around. Not really serious, but when I got here, Brandon really kind of taught us how to look deep inside ourselves and keep writing and keep writing. And we were seeing him once a month, so started to look forward to it.
You see, more treasures than anything else is the heart. See, God's word tells me You see in this blood-pumping organ? You see, Jesus says that it launches forth wicked reasonings, thievery, and false testimonies and blasphemies. So how did you expect me to trust her when the scriptures say I can't even trust me? And from what the scriptures tell me, man, it resided right inside of me. Man, it's like my heart, man. My heart is trying.
After being floored by his off-the-cuff slam poetry, I asked Christoph, what was the most important thing that he's gained from going to Brandon's class?
Just the desire to keep writing. You don't have that desire when you have other stuff going on in your life. You know, writing is not the main focus of your life, especially coming out of a system where I came from and living in a halfway house. I wanted to learn about myself, so when I got here, I started reading like a lot of the Bible, and it really started touching me. And really, a lot of my stuff is written, scriptures from the Bible put together in a poetic form. I don't never want to stop writing, you know what I'm saying? I love when I feel a certain way or feel emotional about anything, and I can just dot it down and write it down, and then it just express it in my own way. So I think writing is just a big, huge part of my life now.
I asked him how he felt about his friend and teacher, Brandon.
So it taught me, man, we got to give back, you know, because he's helping us, and it becomes about having a good heart and who you are. You just want to help. Having that spirit that he has, it can rub off on you because you see the impact it had on me. Just help me want to do the same thing to other people. So now I'm a volunteer. I do a lot of stuff now, you know, but it's all because of having that same spirit, a volunteer to help those who can't help themselves.
You know, when I think about what the poetry class has for residents, I think it gives them an opportunity to talk about things that they've bottled up for so long, because of course men are tough and they don't talk about their feelings. So many of the people that I work with at St. Leonard's, and of course that are being served currently, you know, they have made mistakes, as we all have, and they don't want to talk about them, just like I don't want to talk about my stupidest thing I've ever done. This poetry class gives them some freedom to talk about things that they want to talk about but don't know how.
That's Gail. She's the volunteer coordinator at St. Leonard's, and she's been able to watch the effect that Brandon's class has had on the students in multiple ways.
You know, there was one of the guys that was right here in this class, and when he came to St. Leonard's, he was, you know, it was middle of winter, freezing cold, Chicago winter, and he was homeless. He was thinking about doing a crime just to go back to prison so he could have a warm bed to sleep in. And so instead of going there, somehow he got connected to us. 4 months later, 5 months later, he's opening up. And so just to see how his face has changed, his outlook has changed, how, you know, he's got hope now. And that's pretty magical. I think the thing about volunteering is there's opportunities for everybody in everybody's schedule. I think sometimes you're like, I don't have any time, or I don't know when I'm going to do it, or don't be afraid to say, you know, I just have an hour on once a month, which is all Brandon does, and yet he has achieved and given so much just in that hour. And so I think we realize just how little amount of time means so much to somebody else.
Brandon hasn't only taught poetry to men at St. Leonard's. Marquita is another graduate of the St. Leonard's program. She now has a job, an apartment, and for the first time in a long time, a constructive outlet for her emotions.
The class is just phenomenal. It brought out my side that he never knew I had. It helps me get through my days because the poetry really is a part of me. Because when that pen hit the paper, it's just like, I can just be anything, and I can just take my mind to new heights and do the things I need to do and make sure that I elevate past what I've been through and don't let that make me stuck, so I move forward. When you get in complicated situations and things, instead of just reacting to old ways and behaviors, you know how to escape from those type of situations, and I could take that toxic situation and turn it into a positive through my poetry.
Over the years, Marquita has written a lot of poems by channeling all of that creative energy she's learned in Brandon's class. Her poems are not only about where she's been, but also where she wants to go.
I am free. I am free from bondage that mindsets hold. Unique in my own way, not a slave to thinking, only night and day. And captured by a positive force, now holding the key to a better resort. networking power to success. A power greater than me has me blessed. My mess is my message and my test is my testimony. Don't have to wear no mask or facade or be phony. No more struggles of being me, because finally, at the end, it is set in stone, you see. I am free. Marquita today is about empowering females, and it feel good just to know that the change. I don't have to have all that pent up anger no more. I feel good about myself to move forward with my life. I know it had to get greater later. I couldn't just stop. Not an option for me. When I see nothing but rising to the top, because I got so much in me that I could give back, that it's gonna be explosive.
The changes are staggering, and the poems that are being written are touching in a haunting yet hopeful way. And it's all because one man, who liked to write in his free time, wanted to help others do the same.
I don't know if you have to necessarily use your known talents to help other people. I think you can discover your talents along the way, or you'll develop your talents. And I think developing something that's unknown or not even present is as important as using what you already are aware of. To me, and I wish I followed this in all aspects of my life, I think this is one of the few instances in life where I've wholeheartedly jumped into it, is you just commit to something and then you struggle to swim until you're comfortable in the water. So with St. Leonard's, I had no idea if it was going to be successful. You know, I had some experience writing poetry, but like I said, it wasn't published or anything. I never even attempted to be published, but I had some experience writing and I like to have discussion. So I used that some aspect of myself that I understood to a degree and then committed to do something greater with. And I think that commitment is the important part, whether or not your talent is fully developed, just, or if you have any talent at all, just jump in and see where it goes.
We're back in studio now, and we'd like to shift gears from poetry to another kind of talent, photography. I have with me today John Diaz, a volunteer photographer for the Anything Can Be Project that takes portraits of terminally ill children as their fantasy selves. I took a look at the website and it was really interesting. You have these young children dressed up as dragons, mermaids, princesses, jazz basketball players, etc. John, thanks so much for joining us today and for talking to us about this great project, the Anything Can Be Project.
Thank you for having me.
Now, as we were introducing ourselves to each other beforehand, I actually found out you're not a professional photographer. You're an attorney, right?
I'm an attorney. By day, photographer by night.
How did you get into photography?
About 3 years after I graduated from law school, my mom gave me my DSLR camera, and I had no idea why she gave it to me. I didn't have any interest in photography at the time, and I just started playing around with that and learning it, and it just grew into a passion.
Now, plenty of people have hobbies, and photography can be a hobby that people spend time on, but it's a big leap to go from that to being this almost full-time volunteer helping terminally ill children. What was the connection there? How did you come up with the idea of a photography project that would bring some happiness into the lives of these sick children?
I knew that I wanted to use photography to help other people, and I knew that I wanted to create the type of images that I wanted to create. And so I was doing some images of my kids, and they have big dreams and they have big imaginations, and I was kind of bringing their dreams to life through photography. And I decided that I really wanted to do that for kids that really needed it, that could really derive hope and inspiration from my images. And so that's kind of where I decided to focus on kids that have cancer. And we started reaching out to these kids and finding out their dreams, and it was fantastic to start taking those dreams and bringing them to life.
Well, I encourage our listeners to look up anythingcanbeproject.com and look at some of these images, because they're really delightful. And I was struck, as was my producer, at how involved some of these were. I mean, this looks like a professional movie set. I mean, they have, you know, a scene and these costumes. And maybe you can kind of build from the ground up. Tell us where you find the children. And then once you find out what their dream is, how do you put everything together for the shoot?
Yeah. So We initially reached out to these kids through an amazing organization here called the Millie's Princess Foundation. They put us in touch with these kids initially. And then I started meeting these kids in their homes, getting to know them, finding out what their dreams are. And a lot of that was so that they would get comfortable with me, because I feel like it's really important as a photographer that your subject is comfortable with you, and you have this big camera and lights and things. And so I just started getting to know them and understanding their hopes and inspirations. And then we just kind of powwowed together and worked. I have a team. There's seven volunteers that help me. And we just started working and kind of figuring out what we could do to make their photo shoots awesome and an amazing experience. And we try to go all out for them. We want to show them that they can be anything they want. And so we've had kids that want to be professional football players but have lost their leg to cancer. And, you know, so we worked with the University of Utah to get real football players to kind of help in the photo shoot. And we went up to the university, and he got to meet some of his heroes there. And we kind of had like a photo shoot that involved doing plays.
With real players. Oh, that's cool.
Really cool. And so, you know, again, we try to go all out. Costuming, if a photo shoot requires an elaborate costume, we try to get as elaborate and realistic of a costume as we possibly can.
And where do you get those costumes? A lot of these children can't afford them. I mean,
yeah, we now currently have an amazing costume designer who is now kind of our in-house costume maker, and she's incredible with her costume. She's designed a pirate costume, and she's working on a new costume now. But we really try to find professional, amazing costume makers, makeup artists, hair people. I mean, you mentioned movie set. I'm very inspired by movie production and just movie posters and that sort of thing. So I really try to go all out as possible with these.
Do you have donors who help provide funds for this, or do people just donate their time?
We have people that give time. It's amazing, as I've gotten involved in this project, how giving people are. And they just really, when they see something that's good and that when someone's trying to do an amazing thing, people want to give and want to help. So we do have donors, both financially and just in volunteer.
Can you share one or two experiences, maybe favorite moments when you had a child and her dream was realized? I mean, where you could actually see the lights come on as they're experiencing this. I think our listeners would love to hear experience or two.
There's a couple that really jump out to me. Well, a few, actually all of them, but a couple that really sort of stick out in my mind. We had a little girl. She was 14 years old, and she was terminal, and she wanted to be Alice from Alice in Wonderland. And I remember going to her house, and we couldn't do as elaborate of a photo shoot as I would have liked for her because of her condition and the stage that she was in. And it really was up to our imaginations to put ourselves in a better place. And she really wanted to be Alice from Alice in Wonderland, I think, because she wanted an escape from the pain that she was feeling and the situation she was in. And I remember setting up the lights, and she was very weak. I mean, it took three people to get her dress on. And she was laying on her couch holding a bunny rabbit. And I just remember approaching her and just telling her, you know, let's imagine, let's just forget about the fact that we're in this living room, that there's these lights around. I want you to put yourself in your wonderland and believe that you're really there. And for me, that was when the project really became real, because I could tell that she was feeling a calm and a sense of peace. And I really felt like she believed that she was in her wonderland and she had a moment to escape. And that was a very personal and intimate moment with her. And it was the image that I created from that moment is still one of my favorites. It's her sitting in a field of daisies as Alice. And it was a great experience. There's others. We had another boy that wanted to be a jazz player, and in the Utah, we worked with the Utah Jazz, and they made him a jazz player, and it was incredible. I mean, he has a whole video of a play-by-play of him dunking the ball.
Really?
And
how
it's just
fun.
Amazing. And
what did his face look like at that moment?
I mean, you have to watch this video because the way he struts and the way his swagger, I guess, is incredible. He was so proud of himself in that moment. And you know, that's really what we try to bring out in these kids. We want them to believe that really anything's possible.
Now, you said you were initially inspired by your own children, wanting to help them make dreams come true, and then you wanted to share that. But what else inspires you? What are some of the other spiritual driving forces that lead you to volunteer time? I mean, you're a lawyer by day, you have family. This takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. Why do you do it?
Really, it all kind of started with a strong passion and desire for photography and to create images. But I wanted to create images that meant something, that told stories, that could be important for other people. And that was sort of the driving factor initially. And I feel very strongly that when you discover that you have a talent, your talent should be used to improve other people's life and enrich other people's lives. And so those are probably the two motivating factors behind initially starting this project. I reached out to kids with cancer because I wanted to photograph children, again, going back to this idea of how optimistic they are and how hopeful they are. And I wanted to inspire them to believe that anything can be. But then it became a cause that I'm very passionate about, the pediatric cancer cause. And so you can't help but become passionate about it as you get to know these kids and get to know how strong and how brave and how amazing these kids are. And you become their advocate. And so now that's, along with the creative side, that really is now my motivating.
What advice would you give to others who are contemplating using whatever their talents may be to help other people?
Just to do it, to get out there and do it. I think there's two things. One, I think sometimes we shut our own doors a little bit and we think that we don't have talent. I didn't discover photography until I was over 30 years old. And now I'm doing everything I can to cultivate that talent and to use it for good. And so I think it's important that we don't shut our own doors and realize that we do have talents, whatever they might be. And then to go out and create opportunities for yourself to use those talents. And because there may not be an opportunity out there that exists. And so you might need to go out and find a way and be creative and find a way to use that talent. And what I've discovered is there is nothing more rewarding in this life than serving others using our talents.
Well, and that idea of service is something I drew from what you told me. It's not just about your talent, it's about the people whom you're helping. And when you told me that story about that little girl in Alice in Wonderland, I mean, it was touching. If we can see the people we're serving and love them and care about them, I mean, that's what God teaches us to do. I'm your host, Eric Huntsman, and you've been listening to Here to Help on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And just a reminder of the Mormon Channel's original video series, Give Back. Every month you get to watch a new episode that focuses on different types of service projects that happen all over the world. The themes span from helping newborns in Sierra Leone to a wheelchair provider in Syria. So go to mormonchannel.org and search Give Back to discover these inspirational videos.